Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF Top 200 Study Guide. Great little review for those of you who are practicing in clinical practice, as well as those of you that may be taking board exams or pharmacology exams. So definitely go snag that for free. We get you updates as to when we've got new podcasts out or potentially other new content too. So with that, let's get into the drug of the day today, and that is tacrolimus. I have heard it pronounced tacrolimus as well. I prefer tacrolimus. The brand name of this medication that I hear most often in clinical practice is Prograf. And this medication is an immunosuppressive agent. So we're going to suppress the immune system. So why would we want to do something like that? Well, of course, in organ transplantation, we don't want our own immune system to potentially attack that transplanted organ. So we suppress the immune system to try to prevent that from happening. As far as the classification goes and the mechanism of action, tacrolimus is a calcineurin inhibitor. Ultimately, this inhibits the activation of T lymphocytes. And if you remember, T lymphocytes play an important role of adaptive immunity in recognizing new antigens, basically foreign substances that are in the body, and sets up the immune system to help attack that and get rid of that, which under normal circumstances of infection or, you know, cancerous or malignant cells, that's an appropriate thing and something that we absolutely want and need to survive. However, in transplantation, we do not want that immune system obviously attacking the organ that we're trying to transplant there. So as you can imagine, there's definitely some challenges with organ transplantation and appropriately suppressing the immune system, but not suppressing it too much to where the patient is extremely vulnerable to something like an infection. So, as you can imagine, there is a boxed warning, and one of the major adverse effects or risks associated is infections and or malignancies. Other adverse effects besides that immunosuppressive effect is hypertension, elevations in blood sugar, elevations in uric acid. Remember, that's important for patients with gout. Alterations in potassium levels, magnesium levels, so electrolyte imbalances can happen because of the use of tacrolimus, GI upset potentially, things like that. Renal impairment is also an important issue with tacrolimus. There's a lot of potential adverse effects with tacrolimus, but it's one of those things where we generally just have to manage those adverse effects because we're going to need to use the medication to prevent rejection of an organ transplant. Now, monitoring parameters kind of falls in line with what we're thinking about in that adverse effect profile. So vital signs, you know, if we're looking at the potential to raise blood pressure, certainly we're going to monitor those over time. Renal function, we're going to check that. Electrolytes along with the renal function is going to be an important monitoring parameter over time. Risk for QT prolongation, potentially, especially if there's electrolyte abnormalities, that can be more of a risk then. And then we've got drug concentrations that we monitor with tacrolimus. And typically those are going to be trough concentrations. As far as the frequency, how often do we check levels? That's going to vary based upon, you know, the clinical stability of the patient, potentially even the type of transplant. Also, how far away are you from that transplant? You know, is this the first week, or has the patient had a transplant for 2 years and they've been clinically stable? So those are important factors in saying, yes, we do check levels this often. From my perspective, I'm not a transplant pharmacist. I'm not in there doing all that dirty work, but I follow primary care patients, geriatric patients. And so one of the biggest things I think about are drug interactions that can alter those concentrations. So if you see a drug that potentially raises or lowers concentrations, or you see signs of rejection, or you see signs of toxicity, those are situations where we got to step up and say, hey, you know, I think this might be going on. I think it's important and valuable that we do check those drug concentrations. One other thing I wanted to mention about target drug concentrations. So, you know, those targets can vary. And again, that's, you know, those blood concentration targets can vary depending upon the type of transplantation. We may get more or less aggressive. And also depending upon the time from that transplant. I think it makes sense logically that we're probably going to be more aggressive right away because we don't want that transplant, that organ, to reject. So we're going to probably play on the safe side and be a little bit more aggressive with concentrations. And then over time, those goals may reduce as the transplant team recognizes, you know, tolerability and safety and what's going on with the patient. So again, target concentrations can vary quite a bit depending upon what we're trying to do, but typically we're going to have higher target concentrations earlier on or close to the time of when that transplant was. So I mentioned drug interactions playing an important role, potentially in altering the concentrations of tacrolimus. I'm going to cover more of that, obviously, after the break. But I did want to mention one other thing. We've got to remember to assess patient adherence. Okay, very, very important. And that's something we can do certainly as pharmacists, or if you're, you know, a primary care clinician meeting this patient periodically, you know they're on immunosuppressive agents. Ensuring patient adherence is so, so important with these medications, because if the patient does a poor job and misses doses and things of that nature, or maybe they're experiencing adverse effects and maybe they're, you know, not taking it at all the times that they should, we've got to report that. We've got to pay attention to that. So, so critical with these agents that we're ensuring consistent adherence. Okay, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with those drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like ambulatory care, pharmacotherapy, geriatrics, NAPLEX content, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got a growing list of resources there. If you enjoy Audible books, or if you've never listened to an Audible book and want to give it a shot, we do have a free giveaway there in association with Audible. You can get your first book absolutely for free. And I've got a listing of the current Audible books I have. Just follow those links and you can get those books for free. I've got one on drug interactions, got one on a couple on case studies. And again, you can get 6, 8, 10 hours of content. Absolutely no cost to you, just for trying out Audible. If you don't like it, well, you aren't out anything. You can certainly cancel and you don't have to pay a dime to Audible, but a good way to get some free content there. All right, all those resources, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. Okay, wrapping up on drug interactions. This is definitely a big topic with the use of tacrolimus, and we've got to be extremely careful if we're managing their medications. Other medications can significantly increase or reduce the concentrations of tacrolimus, and there's lots of them. And the primary reason there's lots of drug interactions or at least one of the reasons, is there's a lot of CYP3A4 interactions. So, you know, we think about CYP3A4 inhibitors, like grapefruit juice, for example. Those can raise concentrations of tacrolimus and potentially lead to toxicity. Even agents that are maybe a little bit weaker inhibitors of CYP3A4, like alprazolam or amlodipine, those can actually raise concentrations as well. It might not be as much as a stronger 3A4 inhibitor, like, let's say, clarithromycin, but when you're dealing with a drug that's very sensitive to drug concentrations, even a little bit can potentially be catastrophic for a patient. So very, very important to pay attention to that. So again, those inhibitors can raise concentrations. CYP3A4 inducers such as phenytoin, carbamazepine, rifampin, those can all lower concentrations. So as you can imagine, that would be a very significant risk as well, because now we're talking about the possibility of subtherapeutic concentrations and certainly organ rejection. Other things to think about, I mentioned nephrotoxicity. I think that's an important thing to monitor for with tacrolimus. If we add on other agents that can increase the risk of nephrotoxicity, this could potentially have a little cumulative effect. Aminoglycosides, for example. Remember, these patients are at risk of infection, so you know we may have to use them at some point. So adding that on to tacrolimus could potentially increase that risk for nephrotoxicity. Another commonly used agent, I guess, NSAIDs, over-the-counter. They can have cause renal impairment on their own. Adding it on to tacrolimus, they're could potentially be some additive effects. Other things, drug interactions from the immunosuppressive side of things. Echinacea theoretically has some immune boosting potential, which in a patient that we're trying to moderate that immune function to an appropriate level, that could throw a little bit of a wrinkle in there. So be careful with that one. I would say generally avoid it in patients who are taking any type of immunosuppressive regimen for organ transplantation. One other thing to think about is with vaccines. Remember that we generally avoid live vaccines in patients who are taking immunosuppressive agents. So if you can, before an immunosuppressive agent is started, you know, give that live vaccine to that patient. That's definitely something to think about there. With that said, again, there's a lot of clinical judgment and thought that goes into live vaccines. I would say, for my purposes, I just remember that if I've got a patient that's going to be on immunosuppressive agents or they're on immunosuppressive agents, I got to go do my research, look at that patient clinically and see what is appropriate, what the risk-benefit is, and obviously work that out with the healthcare team as to what the strategy is that we're going to try to do there. All right, so I think that wraps up some of the highlights I wanted to point out on drug interactions and things I've come across in clinical practice. From the broad perspective, if you're in primary care or a community pharmacy or kind of generally managing primary care type patients, geriatric patients who are on immunosuppressives, you gotta remember there's lots of drug interactions. You gotta remember patient adherence and the emphasis on that. We've also got tons of different monitoring parameters with these agents as well. So lots of important pearls that I hope you can pick up and take with you when you run into these patients. If you enjoyed the podcast today, leave a rating review on iTunes. Remember to go, or wherever you're listening, remember to go sign up at reallifepharmacology.com. If you want to track me down, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, you can do that on LinkedIn, as well as my email, mededucation101@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Take care. Hope you have a great rest of your day.